Nowhere that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we love is a one-day key. And if we gon' do it, we gon' do this now. And if we say we gonna, we gon' hold this down.
My name is Will Holdren. I am the host of the Willpower Podcast. Today, our guest is Michael Strickland. And Michael is an amazing entrepreneur that's based out of Louisiana. He's actually a home builder that specializes in building beautiful custom homes. And he's actually in some of the most influential masterminds on earth. And on top of that, he owns a multitude of companies, such as a construction company, coaching company, and many others that we'll kind of dive into here today. So before we begin, Michael, thank you so much for hopping on with me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Will.
Of course, I appreciate it. And so just to start out, I want to go kind of into your background a little bit. So kind of tell me, what did you do before you got into entrepreneurship, and how did you end up, you know, on the construction and home building side of things?
So I was 18, 17, 18, had a great allowance. My dad worked in the oil field for 25 years. And as I got older, it was time to, you know, get out the house and do my own thing, right? So I worked for a company making $10 an hour, and it was just like, went from anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000 a month allowance to $313 a week. And it was like, I can't do this, right?
Yeah.
So I went on a bachelor trip. A good friend of mine and one of his friends was there riding with us. And I was just hearing him back and forth, talking to his customers like, I want to be self-employed. I can do that, you know, yeah. Sales. And I hung out with him that weekend, and we talked back and forth. And I was like, what do I need to do? He was like, look, save up, I think it was 10 grand. And when you get that, get with me and I'll help you set something up. Well, about 3 months went by and he called me and he was like, look, got this grass company. I'll owner finance it for you. I want $20,000 for it. Give me, I think it was like $800 down something. I was like, all right, I can do that. He was like, it's got this, it's doing this in revenue. I didn't know anything about the due diligence part. I was just like, all right, let's go, right?
It's exciting. Yeah.
Started that, and about 30 days in, written it 2 weeks in, I figured out that he kind of lied. Supposed to have like 25 accounts and do $5,000 a month. It was doing, had like 8 accounts and did $1,000 a month.
Oh,
so it was less income than what I was doing, working 40 hours a week, you know, that I quit to come do that. So
right.
We went back and forth, ended up in litigation, and I went and bought all new equipment and just kind of kept that clientele that was there, built it out. And 3 years in, it broke $1 million, and
wow.
Just kind of escalated from there.
That's a crazy story. And it's crazy that you said it escalated into over $1 million, which is amazing.
$22,000 a year is what he did the 12 months that he had it. Wow. I had it for 8 months. The following year of 2015, it did $43,000 that first year. It was just me by myself. Then we did $180,000.
That's awesome.
Fourth year did $1 million. The third year, it did $500,000. The fourth year, I did $1 million.
And so when you bought that company from him, you said he was a close friend, correct?
No, he was a friend of a friend.
A friend of a friend. Gotcha.
Yeah. The first time I'd met him, and I just knew he had several different businesses going on. And one of them,
yeah.
This one don't work, so go do this one, go do this one, go do this, that one. You know?
Right.
For a year. And
so after that whole litigation issue, obviously you probably had a bad taste in your mouth through your first real experience in entrepreneurship, right? Trying to go thing out and someone kind of screws you over, like deal one. It's like, how did you kind of recover from that and still keep your mind on the big picture, like where you wanted to go?
So the guy that I was working for, company I worked for 2 years, really my only real, I guess you could say, as an employee job, he told my grandfather I was too young, I'd never make it. I just needed to stay there and grow with him.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, let's go, you know? So I used that for 2015, 16, 17, and 2018, my son was born, and just kind of that's kind of killed me. And now we've got 4 kids now, and just kids kind of push me now. So,
right, congrats on the family stuff. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So what did you do differently, obviously, to kind of grow the lawn business into, you know, when you said over $1 million? So obviously the guy before you was not doing that. So what did you do differently and what did you learn during those years to really transform into a powerhouse of a business?
Well, more than in like sales, you know, always never knowing the word no. There's been moments it's like, why'd I do this, right? But it's always played out. So grass got me into trees. So I would do grass, then do the flower beds. And then I got into tree cutting. And then tree cutting turned into dirt work. Dirt work turned into demolition work. Demolition turned into construction work. Construction work turned into building a whole subdivision. It's just kind of just never telling a customer, no, I can't do something.
Exactly. Yeah, that's awesome. Like I said, that's a winning mentality. Like you said, once you kind of have that, it's so much easier to persevere, like you said, once you even got those down moments, you know, litigation, for instance, comes up. But for other people, something else may come along the line. But like you said, if you can kind of push past that and keep your mind on the big thing, just keep the ball rolling down the road, you never know where it's going to lead up.
For sure. Yeah, the first million is like just hard. It's like just God, finally I broke a million, you know. And then it's just like, oh, yeah, it's mega cool. You know, and it's like 2 million, 3 million, and it all. It's been a fun journey for sure. Yeah.
So how long did it take you to make your first million, and how long did it take you from your first million to your second million?
My first million, I guess, was that fourth year in the lawn and tree service. And then it was just kind of every year since then, I've done a million or more. Now it's like, hey, start this company.
Yeah.
Start this company and first 12 months we'll do a million. You know, just understand the processes and pulling money and time forward.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for the first 4 years, I didn't understand how investing in yourself and what makes you money is so important. Now I understand, like, the number one thing you can invest in is yourself. You know, like Grant Cardone, one-on-one mentor, 100 grand, 4 hours. What I learned in that first 15 minutes could make me millions, you know, billions of dollars. But it's all about the questions you ask, quality of the question, right? So understanding, if I'd have understood investing myself and taking the money I was making instead of going to blow it on other stuff and putting it right back into the business, just telling where I would be right now. I hate that it took me this long to learn that, but the number one advice I give anybody getting into business is invest in yourself, then invest what makes you money, then invest for passive income. Everybody kind of just wants to jump to that passive income and they don't have to work, right? It's indefinite returns. Invest in yourself.
Yeah. And that is such a great mindset. Just like you're talking about, a lot of people want to have that passive income, but just like you've been talking about, like, if you don't read the books in the background and get to know the mentors in the background, know how to really manage money, know how to manage your emotions and your mindset, then you're going to lose it just as quick as you gain it. So I'm so glad you brought that up.
You know, like, you can accidentally make money. You can accidentally create wealth.
100%.
You know, it's easy. Like, somebody that says they can't make money, like you have to try not to make money. It's really easy as long as you know your gift, what God gave you, and how to monetize it, and just do what you do. You know, or try to do something you don't know anything about, or you know what you're good at. Just figure out how to make money with it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, my perspective, there's so many ways out there to make money, just like you're talking about. But I feel so many people are just drawn into so many different areas where it's like, you can make a ton of money, whatever area you want to go into, right? Like whatever area, you just got to focus on and stay focused on it really for the next couple of years and let it grow out instead of switching things up every 1 year, every 6 months, something like that. So I think that's a big issue. Just
there's so many people that just like, they want to be self-employed. So they get in this business and then 6 months later, it's not doing $1 million. I'm not a millionaire yet, right? So then they're in this next business. Like so many 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds really, but you know, especially 20-year-old, early 30, get upset that they're not a millionaire and get down and quit versus pushing through and actually getting to that. It's like the entitlement. Everybody thinks they ought to be able to be self-employed in the first 36 months or 24 months. be a millionaire. It just don't work like that, especially when you're first starting out.
Yep. And just like you said, it took you 4 years, right? So
it took me 4 years to break over a million gross income.
Yep.
And then it took me really, I'd say 6 years to like just financially stable and always throughout that. And it depends on your mindset. So year one, I was financially stable. I mean, I went from what, 15, 16 grand a year to 40 something, you know, but that mindset, the mindset's always pushed me because I want more and more and more and more. You know, I want the helicopter. I got a helicopter on order now.
That's awesome, man.
But you know, the helicopters and the planes and the big nice trips, taking the family and, you know, four kids. And that's really just pushed me to keep trying to get something bigger, bigger, bigger.
Right. Yeah. And to your point, I feel a lot of people would just quit on year three or year four and not really get the chance to go to year six, right? You never know when that year is going to be. And too many people just get stopped like 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road. And then you don't experience that real growth year where that big breakthrough can really happen for you and your business. So
year five, I got told that when I first started, and it's proven if you're not going to invest in yourself and pull money and time forward by years, if not decades, then if you just, I'm just going to work and I'm just going to do this like I did when I got started, it takes 5 years to get established. It does not happen in a year or two. People say, yeah, word of mouth a little bit. 5 years, I could have ran my company completely off word of mouth. Doing over $1 million a year, word of mouth, no advertising.
Yeah.
But it took 5 years. It takes 5 years to get established.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a great perspective. And, you know, kind of going forward now, obviously this podcast is really designed for like the young entrepreneur trying to get their footing, stepping out in life. So I know you're huge in real estate now. And I personally love real estate for everything I've learned so far. Other guests, it's like real estate is it. You know what I mean? So I want to hear from your perspective, like, why is real estate the best go-to, the best way to earn passive income, just from your own words?
So real estate is something that is tangible. You can touch, feel, see, smell. I mean, it's there. It doesn't disappear. If it does disappear, you still own the dirt and you had insurance, right? If a tornado or it catches fire, it's there, though. It's not something you can go to sleep tonight and wake up tomorrow. I have friends that literally wake up, go to sleep tonight and wake up tomorrow and be 10 million shy just because their money's in the stock market. They have zero control.
Right.
You know, the mindset of everybody, for most people, you got your retirement accounts and you're working in a day-to-day job and you're putting that money in companies, you know, like Fidelity and, different money management accounts, and you're putting it in somebody else's hands to try to make some money with. And if they lose it, you know, my grandfather, $500,000 shy, last 24 months, $500,000 is what he's lost.
Really?
In a retirement account. He's pulling that money out and about to put it in real estate. It's just real estate, hands down, is something you can go to sleep at night. And as long as you're invested in the right piece of property that's in the right location that is going to increase in value, that you can't beat it. It's not going to produce buy low, sell high, like the stock market. You might can make 30-40%, you know, something like that. But that's also, you can make zero. Yeah. This is like you're looking for just a good cash flow every month until you on the exit pick up an appreciation that can be that will be tax free
100%
and 1031 into another property to go buy something bigger. real estate with the tax benefits that's out there, between that and the appreciation, that you can't beat real estate.
To your point, like the whole retirement thing as well, like if stock market goes up 30%, like you may make 30% on paper. You don't make 30% until you withdraw that money. Like, it can still go down the next day. Like, And real estate, you got that cash flow coming in every month. Like, that's solid cash flow. That's tangible stuff that you can then invest into more real estate. And so I think like real estate properties is a great way to, you know, save for retirement. Honestly, if you buy a couple of houses, that's your retirement, you know?
You need the best the best thing for retirement is, if you're not going to do real estate full time, is invest with somebody that does real estate full time that is in the multifamily space. You know, that when you're in real estate, you got to look at real estate every day. I look at deals every day. I know the square foot price and the cost to build. I know the areas. I know what the rents go for. It just, all of that information, you can't just look at one piece of property. Oh, I want to buy that and go buy it, right? There's a lot of due diligence that needs to happen. And I learned that in the first business, not doing due diligence, right?
Yeah.
So the subdivision stuff, we started it before I started following Grant. And we got a lot of cash tied up, over $10 million tied up in these subdivisions. And now, and it sucks because it doesn't pay you every month. As we sell these houses, I'm taking all that and converting it. We've got about $18 million worth of real estate. We're converting that. And between now and when it sells and the other stuff we have going on, we'll have close to $100 million worth of real estate in the next 60 months or less. Without capital raising, that's just us. And I'm probably going to set a fund up and raise money also. But just our company and the capital we have, we'll be able to do $100 million.
Yeah. And I feel like you guys are at that point where it's exponential growth at this point, right? It's like money.
In the next mid-summer, mid to late this year, from there for the next 60 months, it's going to be wild.
Yeah. That's exciting.
But it's been a long time to get here. You know, it didn't happen overnight.
Yeah. 100%. Like you said, you got 5 years just to, you know, get your wheels off the ground. So it's just kind of cool to see the other side of that and what's going to happen going forward from here. So for a lot of people that do want to go into real estate, like you said, I think that it's complicated for them to understand a lot of the tax benefits that comes out of it. And two, it's a larger upfront cost when they get into real estate, or that's what they think. And so I'm kind of curious, hearing from your end, how can someone brand new, like, go out there and really start to raise money to hopefully go out and like buy the first property or do whatever they want to do in real estate?
You know, a lot of people, the biggest mistake people do in real estate is think too small. And if anybody follows Grant, they're going to hear him say a bunch of this stuff. Mentor, learn a bunch from him. Thinking too small and thinking shopping on a budget, like, you know, well, this house is $100,000. It's going to take me $6,000. Well, I've got $10,000 to put down, right? So I only can buy $50,000 house. That's 10%. You can't do that. You will lose. You'll break even or lose every time. You have to get the deal. If you don't have a deal, you have nothing worth talking about, right? People focus on the money in and not the deal. That's why they never get a deal. When I see something, if I see something I love, run through a quick due diligence, napkin, math, like, let's get a deal under contract. Once we get the deal under contract, then we have a due diligence period. Mm-hmm. Under that due diligence period, we'll deep dive into it. If it's a deal, the money follows. Money comes. Money's easy to get. You've got mom, you got dads, you got grandpas, you got uncles, you got banks, you got family, friends, you got partners. The money's there. There's one thing that's for sure. Money, there's not a shortage of money on this planet. You know, the 40% of the currency that they've printed in the last 18 months.
That's insane.
So focus on the deal and don't get under, I mean, ideal is like 30 plus units. Don't try to buy one or two or three houses. The problem is with buying, just say you buy one house, right? And you're making, just say you're clearing after you pay a note on it, you're clearing $300 a month, right? That's it's probably going to be hard in today's debt market to even clear $300 a month. But just say you clear, just say you clear $200 a month. It's $2,400 a year. Clear $300 a month, $3,600, right?
Yeah.
One bill of $4,000 for plumbing wipes your entire year out. If you go to sleep tomorrow or tonight and you wake up tomorrow and that tenant calls you and says, hey, I can't pay my rent. what are you going to do? You're going to pull it out your pocket and say, all right, well, I got to pay the note. All right, well, the roof just, you know, it's leaking. All right, well, I got to, you know, I got to take care of this. It just don't work.
Yeah.
You need so many doors to be able to pay you. So if five people move out, you still, the property still funds itself. And you don't get in a financial bind to where you lose the property or you have to sell some equity. You know, you want to be able to have the property take care of itself.
Right. So you're saying for even people that are just starting in real estate, you would definitely recommend going into bigger units just out of the gate, like not even one or two, just something like that's bigger size, like 30.
At least like 16, 24.
That's awesome. And so when they're looking at these units, right, you said you got to find a deal. So what are you looking for in the deals? Like, are you scanning the MLS constantly? Like, what are you doing to find these deals for other people?
Every day, like, you need to know your market. Once you get in your market, if you're going to be in real estate, like, if I said today, never been in business, I'm going to start in real estate, right? First thing I would do is find the top commercial brokers in that area, because their fingers on pole. They know what's going on.
Right.
Before something hits the market, they know what's coming to the market. Majority of the time, it's never going to hit the market. It's just going to sell under off market.
Yeah.
Or it goes to market and it's contracted like just super fast if it's a deal. So you have to invest in yourself to understand the terms, have the knowledge. So when you talk to a broker, you're not like, well, hey, this guy's new. He can't pull this deal off. They're not going to look at you.
Right.
So first thing I would do is invest in yourself to learn everything you need to learn to get started. Don't just start looking for a deal. You can have the best deal in front of you. If you can't make a bank, make the broker, make the seller believe you can pull that property off, you can't buy that property.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you can write a check for the property. If you can't convince them that you can, or convince them that you're even going to come through this, because you got to know all, you got to have some knowledge up front. So invest in yourself, look for deals on MLS, look for deals, get in the circles, try to get in the room with the right people. You hear me say that all the time. You have to get in the room with the right people in anything you want to do. I don't care what it is, with me, from cows to real estate, internet marketing. I've got in with like famous, well-known people to pull money and time for it by many years. So once you get in them circles, you're going to find a deal, and you might look at 300 deals before you find a deal. But understanding the knowledge up front, you invest in yourself to go to the seminars, to go hire a mentor. Once you get that under you, now you know what a deal looks like. Everything, anything can be made a deal if you know how to negotiate also, as long as it's in the right location.
Right. Yeah, that all makes sense. And I love what you said about mentorship too, because that is absolutely crucial. And the biggest part about it is that you're not spending $100,000, you're really investing that money, because like you said, you're pulling time for it. Like that, if you didn't do that, it would have took you 5 more years to figure out how to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the crucial part about that. I think a lot of people miss out. It's like, well, I don't want to spend $5,000 to $10,000 doing this. Well, you're going to sacrifice 5 years then, right? And then it's going to take you that much longer to get any of that money coming in. So I guess I would say, going off of that, how do you go out there and find like the circles of people that you need to be in? Just like you were talking, like, what are you doing to reach out to them to find them?
All right. So just use this for example. I moved to Zachary, Louisiana, and knew nobody. Before I moved, I bought this 100 acres for the subdivision going. The broker or the agent that was listing the property, she actually wasn't even the agent. I just called. I saw her deal on her contact. I was like, hey, what do you think about this property? Well, she actually works for me full time now. 2 years later, she came to work for me full time. But she was awesome. An agent here. She, you know, third generation here. Worked at the Chamber of Commerce. She ended up leaving the Chamber of Commerce, coming here, doing stuff in my office, marketing stuff, and doing the real estate for me. So getting in there, I got on I'm on the Chamber of Commerce board. I'm on the YMCA board, trying to get on this other big board. But anyway, getting in them circles, and then all the higher up people, the mover and shaker, start seeing your name. Yeah. And know that you're serious. Getting in, going to these agent meetings, going to these breakfasts and these coffee with the mayors, and just getting in with everybody around you so they know, hey, this guy's serious, and hey, you know, who is this guy? Then people start, like, when I came, I bought 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 or 5 properties, like majored. Like my office is like in the heart of Zachary on a major highway, 24,000 people a day pass it. I bought a 5-plex, which is its own commercial, and I bought it for the commercial property just to have it. It's right across from the number one school district in the state.
That's awesome.
People that had that had it for many years. They knew when I bought that, they were like, oh, who's this guy? And I bought the office, oh, who's this guy? I bought the 100 acres, and it just kind of created a lot of tension around me. So now deals just come to me. Just people call me all the time. Hey, you want to come look at my house? Hey, you want to look at this? I want to sell this. Yeah. But if you can't go buy a bunch of stuff, then just trying to go to all the events, getting known, people knowing your name, people seeing your face, telling everybody, hey, I'm looking for a deal. Hey, I'm looking for a deal. Calling every broker in town. Hey, I'm looking for a deal. I'm looking for a deal. I'm trying to buy 25 units by the end of the year. I'm trying to buy 50 units by the end of this month. I've got the capital. I'm ready to go. Feed me deals. Put me in your pipeline, please. And know, and you have to know the terms and have some knowledge behind your background to be able to speak to the brokers. If you got that, deals will come.
Right.
But it's every day. You can't just call 10 brokers and then wait 6 months and nothing happen. I mean, call them, you know, a couple times a week, a month. Hey, you got anything? Hey, you got anything? Stay on the line. The best known. It's about best known, not who's the best. Hmm. Not about best product, you know, it's in sales. It's best known, not best product.
That's same thing
real estate. It's the same thing in real estate. It's who, when a deal comes up, who are they going to think to call? Who can pull it off the quickest? Because they don't get paid unless they sell a deal, right? So right. It's who's serious, who can pull this deal off the quickest. You need to be that person.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great mindset. And so let me ask you, how many properties do you guys have at this point?
Right now, multifamily-wise, we only have 12 doors right now, but okay. We have 18 million worth of real estate that's tied up that is selling. Like I've got just rough figure, I've probably got 3.5 million, maybe 4 million worth of houses going up right now.
So you guys are building them and then selling
them. Selling them, and I have to get through. Like I've got roughly 125 lots.
Wow,
I've got to build 125 houses.
That's awesome.
And as I build, I'm just adding on. Now a deal comes out, I can get liquid enough to buy that deal.
Right.
But I'm waiting. The assets that I'm wanting to buy, or I'm gonna buy, aren't the 20 unit deals. I'm looking for like 200 units, 150, 200, 300 unit deal. That's something I'm going to need a partner on. But I'd rather have that. I'd rather throw $5 or $10 million and have somebody else throw $10 million. We got $20 million. Now we can go buy a $100 million piece of property, right?
Right.
One property for $100 million. And then you have way more just forced appreciation, higher clientele. I mean, there's a lot more to it. If I'd have known what I know now, 24 months ago, roughly 2 years, I would have $100 million worth of real estate right now. And I can confidently say that because I invested, spent a lot of money for me to learn everything I have in the real estate coaching sales. In the last 2 years, last year was like crazy. Knowing all that now, I would never invest anything that doesn't pay you immediately. when you have to pay interest or you take all your capital and you put it in something, then you have to sell it to make a profit.
Yeah.
To pay you for 3 years, you know, we bought that property. So that subdivision will be, let's say, roughly $10 million, 36 months, nothing. No income. Yes, there's appreciation, right? Yeah. We got to sell it to be able to get that money.
Exactly.
So if we'd have took that, just say we took $10 to $15 million, and we put it in 50, 60, 70 million worth of real estate that paid every month, that would have been way better.
Yeah.
Just you live and you learn. You don't know what you don't know. You know, 100%. Now I know, so.
And now you do, right? So the next couple of years is going to be blow up years. And so with that, I mean, I'm kind of curious, like, what are your goals for the next couple of years that you personally want to accomplish, like, business-wise? I know you're thinking above and above all. So, like, what are some of your goals you're reaching for?
In the next 60 months, both my goals will be sold out of both of these subdivisions and have $100 million. I was told I was thinking too small. I'd like to have $100 million worth of real estate, multifamily.
Yeah.
That our capital's tied up, but that will probably be what I know it's probably going to be. Well, more than that. It's easier to partner. And this is something that if you're getting into real estate, you need to know. It's better to have a small thing, a small piece of a big thing, than to have a big piece of a small thing.
Mm.
A partner or multiple partners, depending on who's in control, how the deal's run. There's a lot of, you know, operating agreements that's got to be put in place, right?
Yeah.
But people have what you want.
100%.
And if you can buy this 5-unit deal by yourself, but you can go buy this 100-unit deal if you got two partners, what you going to do?
Yeah. Right.
Who's in control? Who's going to run the deal? Who's going to decide when to sell the deal, paint the deal, refinance the deal, pull money? Let's go buy the 100 units, not buy the 5. So that's kind of what I'm looking as we sell these properties and get back liquid, partnering with somebody to where we can go, instead of having, you know, 60 to 100 million by ourselves, we're going to have 200 to 300 million.
Gotcha.
Or more, you know. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, before we run out of time here, I just want to say you said a lot of really great stuff today. I'm sure my audience definitely loved that. And so, obviously, before we head off, is there anything else you'd like to say? And if people want to reach out to you, how can they find you on social media?
So, you can go to Michael Strickland. It's on Facebook. It's just Michael Strickland. Let me get my Instagram real quick. It's michael.strickland. michael.strickland, strickline. And just DM me. You know, love to help, mentor, coach, but anything, help anybody out. You know, that's, I want to be known for people I help, not the money I make. So it's a big deal to help. I love people that's wanting to get into that space, showing them how to do it, helping them walk through, look at a deal. Got people that could fly in all the time to my office, do one-on-one coaching, or just jump on Zoom and dissect the deal. So anything, however I can help.
That's awesome. We greatly appreciate that. And anything else you have to say before we hop off?
No, that's it. I appreciate all right. it.
All right, guys. Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks. There you have it. Michael Strickland, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
My life is questions and assumptions and guesses, all bottled in just one lesson, labeled in Sharpie, God's blessing. Yeah.
No way that we go is a one-way street. Nothing that we love is a one-day key. And if we gon' do it, we gon' do this now. And if we say we gonna, we gon' hold this down.